the main body of the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, which we've been looking at in the past few months, is now nearly finished. The time now is for the crunch. Jesus presents his hearers with a choice. Remember, he has spoken about true blessedness or happiness in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who acknowledge that they are in spiritual need. Those who do not pride themselves on the greatness of their faith and goodness, but come to the Lord poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, those who are strong and yet their strength is controlled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who long for righteousness to come to their own lives and the life of the world, who long for a Saviour to come again to the world. Blessed are those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, that is, their motives are sincere, their caring and their loving is true, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then Jesus went on, you remember, to challenge us about our character. Rather than just being the same as the world, we must be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We have to be a preservative in the world, like salt in meat. And if the world goes rotten, where were the Christians? Were they living and believing in Jesus or not? If not, then no wonder the world goes wrong. Then Jesus went on to speak about true righteousness, not just obeying this or that commandment, but he said it's a matter of the heart in our attitude to God and to others. Above all, he says we must have the attitude of love, even to those who do not love us. Then he went on to warn us against merely making a show of good works and religion. But he told us we must be sincere. Then he went on to teach us the simple and sincere way of prayer. Then he went on to speak about our ambition, our treasures, that they should be those that last, that are eternal, that carry on from this world into eternity. Then he went on to speak about our faith, that we should not be consumed with anxiety and fear, but humbly trust our Father in heaven. Then he went on to warn us against judging others, and he taught us the golden rule, to do to others as we would have them do to us. That's what we've been considering, and now he gives us the choice. In verse 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. An inescapable choice before us. Perhaps we human beings would prefer more choices than these. Or perhaps we would prefer not to choose at all. But Jesus presents us with just two ways, either one or the other. He says there's the broad way, which means the way is spacious and roomy and easy, as one Bible translation has it. The way is broad and easy and spacious and roomy. On this way, on this road, There is plenty of room for all opinions and all morals. It's the permissive way, the way of the permissive society, because it's a way that is so wide and broad that it has no boundaries or curbs at all. Travelers on this way simply follow the inclinations of and desires of their own sinful hearts. There's nothing to be obeyed and nothing to be believed on this way. If travelers on this way want for a few days to believe and obey, they're free to do that. And then if they want to give up because they're in the mood, then they're free to do that. You can do what you want on the broad way. It is so broad. You just follow your own mood and inclination. And then there's the narrow way, which doesn't mean narrow-mindedness. On the contrary, when we have clear beliefs, it broadens our mind in the best sense of that word so that we can think straight and deeply for the first time. But it's a narrow way in this sense that it does have boundaries. It is clearly marked. There are clear beliefs. They are not fudged. There are clear standards of character and behavior. And Jesus says the broad way is easy. What does that mean? Well, the broad way is marked by all the things that Jesus has spoken against in the Sermon on the Mount. It's marked by a superficial life, by selfishness, by hypocrisy, by false ambition, by ostentation in religion and other things. It's marked by being judgmental to others, and it's easy to be like that. They come naturally to the sinful heart. You don't need any effort to be selfish or to be materialistic, to set your heart on material things alone. That doesn't take any effort to do that. It doesn't take any effort to be judgmental against others. It's very easy. The narrow way is hard. Hard in the sense that we have to learn and strive to be followers of Christ. We have to take time. We have a Lord's Day, which is a whole day set apart for the Lord. There is discipline. There is confession when we go wrong of our sins to God. We have to make ourselves acquainted with the Word of God. If we merely drift through life, we can be sure it will be the broad way. And then Jesus says there are two gates or two doors, which are the entrance to the two ways. There's the wide door and there's the small door. The wide door has no limit to the baggage you can carry through it. You need leave nothing behind when you go through the wide door, not even your sins. We can take all our self-righteousness and pride and false ambition through the wide door. There's plenty of room for it all. But the gate that leads to the hard way is small. We have to look for it. Remember, Jesus in the previous verses said, seek. We have to seek the Lord. But then he says, seek and you will find. You don't have to be a religious expert to seek the Lord. Seek and you will find. the small gate or the small door, we have to leave behind selfish ambition, a judgmental nature, covetousness, pride and self-righteousness. We deny self to follow Christ. And then Jesus says there are two destinations to which these two ways lead. There's the destination of destruction and the destination of life. And this is a theme of much of the Bible. We read in the Old Testament today, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live. The choice is life or destruction. Life and all that goes with life, abundant life, which is love and courage and strength and health, eternal health, joy, service, hope, faith, beauty, peace, excitement, happiness, blessedness. All these things are from God. He has given us all these things richly to enjoy. But if we turn our backs on God and go the other way, then we go to where God is not, where there is no love, beauty, truth, joy, and peace, and hope. Eternal destruction. And then Jesus talks about the two groups of people. There's the many who are traveling on the broad way. It's a busy thoroughfare. The narrow way, Jesus says, those who travel on it are few. Jesus saw the multitude on the broad way, apparently no thought for their dreadful destination. Whereas on the narrow way there is a happy band of pilgrims. These verses seem to say that only a few will be saved, but that's not necessarily so, because we have to think of other words as well. In Revelation 7, verse 9, we read this, and I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Jesus himself said that his death would be a ransom for many. On another occasion, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And Jesus didn't answer them directly. He didn't satisfy their curiosity, but he said to them, you strive to enter the narrow door. Why should we be curious how many there are who will be saved? It's not our business to know how many. What are we worried about? Are we afraid that God will be unfair or unjust? Do we think that we know something about humanity that he doesn't know? It's not for us to be curious and speculate how many. It is for us to make sure we enter by the door. Something that may distract us from entering by the door is false prophets, who Jesus mentions in the next verse, verse 15. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. There are false prophets. They really exist. Beware of false prophets. There's no point in putting beware of the dog on your gate if you only have a pussycat or a budgerigar. So when Jesus says, beware of false prophets, they were there. In those days they spoke from the housetops and the street corners. Today they speak to us through the newspapers, the television, the radio, the magazines that we read that would turn us away from the way of the Lord. The false prophets who would tell us that all roads lead to God, that we don't need to be worried, that the broad way also leads to life, that selfishness, hypocrisy, unbelief don't matter, because all ways, including the broad way, leads to life, say the false prophets. But Jesus said, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They may seem very reasonable. They may have plenty of charm, plenty of education. They may have PhDs. They may even be doctors of divinity. But Jesus says, beware of them. You go to the small door. What is the door? Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We need to kneel there to make ourselves small so that we can enter in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a hard way, yes, but the Lord walks with us. He walked the hard way from heaven to earth, the way of the cross through Gethsemane and death, and then from the grave into heaven itself, where he opened the door. So that through him all may go in. Not just the religious experts, but all of us who are prepared to be poor in spirit before him. He opened the door. Although the way is hard, when we are yoked to him, we will find it a lot easier than we expected, even in very hard times. And although it will be hard, with him, in the end, we'll know the meaning of those words, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, we bow humbly before thee and the cross of Jesus, in which he made himself so small for us, that through him we, divested of all pride and self-righteousness, might go in to his eternal kingdom. May no one here fail to enter that door, but come to him who invited us to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, he who is meek and lowly in heart. We ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.